everybody, it's Rich. Welcome, or welcome back, to the Access Church Podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find our complete Sunday experience with music, as well as great content for kids and students. Visit accesschurch.com to keep up with everything going on around here at Access, and subscribe to our email list. We'll send you helpful suggestions each week designed to help you make friends, grow in faith, and live with purpose. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everybody. How we doing, Access Church? Y'all doing good? It's good to see y'all. Y'all having a good morning? All right. Yeah, that was... Thanks to that band. That was a great time of worship. Hey, I got a question to get us started this morning. What would you do if somebody asked you this question right here? Why are we here? Hey, why are we here? That's the question my son asked me just the other day. I don't know if you have kids like this, but my son, he has this tendency, this like extraordinary ability to ask the most random question about life's deepest mysteries. And it'll happen out of nowhere, like just bam. We were hanging out, this is actually two Saturdays ago, we were hanging out. And this is my family, by the way. So there's me and my wife, Sarah, and our four kids, Cashman, Peyton, Riley, and Austin. And this is my boy that I'm talking about. And so we're sitting on the couch with the whole fam and nothing is going on. Like nothing is going on. Like we're sitting there, kids are watching like PJ Masks or something, the little ones. And then he's playing Switch because, you know, he's too old for that. And I'm just sitting there like messing around on my computer and like getting some work done. But it's a Saturday. We're just chilling. And my son looks up and he goes, "Hey, Daddy, why are we here?" I was like, "What do you mean, like at the house?" "Well, because it's Saturday. We're just chilling. We're not doing anything today. I just wanted to relax." And he's like, "No, like why'd God make us?" And I was like, "Oh, shoot. Like, I was not ready for this question." I'm like, why are we here for an 8-year-old? You know, like does Google have this somewhere? But I'm like, my mind's racing. I'm like trying to formulate in like 8-year-old terms an answer to the question, why in the world are we here on the planet? But I do. You know, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a professional Christian. I get paid to love Jesus. I know how to do this. I'm just kidding. I mean, I do get paid to do this. And so I do. I best I can in like 8-year-old boy terms. I'm like, here's an answer to why we are here. And I do. I give him a little answer for like a couple minutes. And then like a good preacher, I did a recap at the end just so he remembered the points. And then I paused for what I, you know, was sure was going to be his now enlightened response, which I was confident would also include a newly formed plan for the next 8-10 years of his life. And this is all I get back. He goes, "And Daddy, you remember that time in Avengers Infinity War when like Thor came out of the clouds with the lightning? Do you think that was cooler, or was it cooler when like Iron Man fought Thanos on that other planet?" I'm like, "Did you just hear anything I said?" Do your kids ever do that? Like they ask you a question about one of life's deepest mysteries, and upon receiving your brilliant answer, they just like move on, like nothing ever happened. Why am I here? But I do wonder if you remember the last time you asked that question in your life. I would say I wonder if you've ever had a time, but I know you have, and I wonder if you remember the last time you found yourself wondering, why am I here? What's my purpose in the world? Like maybe it was, you know, maybe you're in your 20s and you're coming out of college trying to figure out life and you got everything ahead of you and you're like, what am I supposed to do in the world? Or maybe you're in your 30s and 40s and you realize, have you gotten to this point yet, where you realize that you got to where you wanted to get when you were in your 20s and you're like, oh shoot, what now? Is this it? Or what's next? Or maybe you're post-retirement or post an empty nest. And you're in that season of life where you're wondering what's next. And you really hadn't anticipated this phase. You're like, hey, what am I here now for? Or maybe you just had a big life change or you've had a life disruption, like you lost your job or you got a divorce or you moved cities or you had some other thing happen in your life and like the whole landscape of your life shifted and you found yourself asking all over again in a fresh way, like, why am I here? Why am I here? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to answer the question. I want us to consider for just a few minutes. And maybe after we leave here, think about on the ride home or discuss over lunch or consider in your small group this answer to the question, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I on the planet? Or if you're a Christian, if you're a Jesus follower, here's our version of it. And our version is simply this. What is God's will for my life? What did God put me on the planet to do? Who does he want me to be? Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to do? It's one of the biggest questions that we all ask of our lives, no matter who we are, right? It's also one of the most important answers you'll ever find in your life. It's one of the most important answers you'll ever find in your life. But why you think you're here, it determines how you live your life. And how you live your life determines what you get out of it and what those around you get out of your life. It's like a lot like a balance beam. You ever seen somebody do a balance beam? Probably like once every 4 years, you know, in the Olympics. But I've done a balance beam like twice in my life, and I've gotten the same advice both times. Do you know when you're on a balance beam where you're supposed to look? You're not, I'll give you a hint, it's not at your feet. Do you know where you're supposed to look? At the end of the beam. That's what I've been told, and it actually works. Some of you might be like, my daughter does gymnastics, and that's not true, but just go with it, okay? That's what I've been told. And so like on a balance beam, I've heard that the trick is you don't look like at your feet because, you know, it's like, you know, you get wobbly, but if you look at the end of the balance beam, it sort of like calibrates, you know, your body as you're walking along. The principle at play is that where your eyes are focused, your feet follow. Where your eyes are focused, your feet follow, and it's the same here. Why you think you're here, it determines and impacts like how you walk. It has the same impact on your life. Knowing why you're here has the same impact on your life. I just wrote it down this way. Like your why, it determines and it impacts your walk, right? You can go to the next one, yeah. It determines how you walk through life, how you walk through your career, how you walk through a given day, a given week, a given year, a given season of life, how you parent, how you plan for the future, how you save, how you spend, who you hang with, where you go, what you invest in, the whole deal. How your why impacts your walk, and how you walk is a really big deal because you want, and God wants you to walk in a way that's this right here. And of course, they're all W's because, you know, I wanted y'all to believe I was a real preacher. You want to walk worthy. It's actually from a famous prayer of the Apostle Paul. Paul the Apostle, he prayed this prayer for a church and it's recorded in the Bible. He says, hey, I pray that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will. Your why? For being on the planet. So that you would walk through life. No, go back, go back. Okay, yeah, sure, go there. No, here's, this is fine. So that you would walk in a way that's worthy. In other words, that you would get to the end of this year, you would get to the end of this decade, you would get to the end of this season of parenting or this season of work or the season of friendships or health or finance. And for that matter, that you one day, you would get to the end of your life and you would know in your heart and you would hear from God and from those around you, you did well. You did well. That you walked worthy, worthy of you and your potential and your opportunities, worthy of those who loved you and who needed you and worthy of the God who created you. And no matter who you are, no matter who you are, or what you believe, or whether, you know, God is in that equation or not of whose opinion matters to you. No matter who you are, that you wanna do that. You wanna walk worthy. You want your life this year, this decade, this season. You want it to like add up to something truly good that blesses you and those around you, that means something, that has significance and purpose. I heard Craig Groeschel say it this way, and I've always loved this quote. You know that quote, yeah, it says, your life is too valuable, your calling too great, or your potential, if you know what calling is, and your God too awesome to waste your life on what doesn't matter. It's too great, it's a waste. You and I can't afford to spend our lives or any part of them unaware of or forgetting or in disregard of our purpose for being on the planet. God's why that he has placed on our life. Why? Because your why impacts your walk and your walk is what ultimately makes your life worthy. And so for just a few minutes, that's what I wanna talk about today. I wanna talk about the answer to the question, what is God's will for my life? Like how to figure out the answer to questions like, hey God, what job should I get? Or what career should I have? Or what skills should I develop? Or where should I go to grad school if I'm gonna do that? Or how many kids should we have? And should they go public or private? I'm gonna talk about answers to questions like, hey God, where should I go to college? Or who should I marry? Or what neighborhood should we live in? What city should we move to? What friends should we have? What hobbies should I have? What should I do with my free time? What things should I buy? What house, what toys, what cars? What should I enjoy? God, should I get a pumpkin spice latte or is it too early in the season? Oh my gosh, God, what do you want me to do? You know, all those big questions like that. I had to ask that question this morning because I love pumpkin. God, what do you want me to do? And by the way, if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, what we're gonna discover today as we explore the answer to this question is gonna be helpful for you too, I promise. It's gonna be helpful for you too as you try to figure out how to walk through life or walk through your career, or walk through family, or walk through whatever you got going on. Because yeah, we're gonna start with God, but then we're gonna get really, really practical. So hang with me. Because as we go, we're gonna get really, really practical to something that I think is gonna be extraordinarily helpful for you as well. But I tell you, I think, that if you lean in for like just these first couple of minutes, I think you're gonna learn something perhaps really surprising about God, something that you didn't know about what he wants for you. So I hope that you'll tune in as we talk about, hey, what is God's will for my life? And as simple as that question sounds, perhaps to you, there is something that I believe and I have found from my own personal experience and from just knowing a lot of people who ask me this question a lot. I have found that there's something specific that is standing in our way of really knowing the answer to that question. And it's this right here. I brought this tin that my wife helped make because I cannot write that good. Can you all even see that in the, can you see that? It says God on it. So this is like, this is what I call, this is your God bucket. And it's something that we all kind of like just carry through life. And excuse me, what it is it contains everything that we know about God's will for our lives. Like what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, who he wants us to be and all that. This is our God bug. This is everything that God wants you to do in your life. And truth be told, it's actually kind of small. I did that on purpose. You know, preachers love to talk about like God's huge plan for your life, you know, and like give your whole life. My life is in your hands. You know, songs about like everything is in your hands. But here's the deal. If we were to go around and ask each other, hey, what's the answer to the question? Hey, what does God want you to do in life? And for sure, if we were to go like out in our community and just ask the random person who may or may not even go to church, hey, just from what you've heard or what you've picked up on or what you've assumed, hey, what do you think God wants you to do? What's your opinion? Like, what have you understood? What have you heard? What do you think God wants you to do? Many of our answers, and I know some personal experience, and for sure most of their answers out in just the greater community, they would boil down to these two things right here. Go to church and don't sin. Go to church and don't sin. This is what I hear all the time. Go to church, don't sin. Hey, what do you think God wants you to do in this life? Like, what's God's will for your life? I mean, I don't know, but it's like something like this. Go to church and don't sin. And the reason that for many of us, even in the church, that might be the kind of answer that we have is because for many of us, that's what we got growing up. You know, you're like showing up Sunday school. I went to a church that had Sunday school growing up. And you know, they're like, that's what you got. They're like, here's what God wants you to do. You want to go to church, you know, do the church thing, like show up, read your Bible. And if you really love Jesus, then like work for a church, you know, one of the three Jesus jobs, pastor, missionary, and worship leader. Those are the three Jesus jobs. You know, there's a couple others, but they're like, whatever, basically the same. So go to church and do the thing and be a part of it and read your Bible and get to know God and all that. And also don't sin, you know, like be nice. Don't do drugs, okay? Keep the Big Ten. Commandments, not conference. Nobody's got time for Big Ten, get out of here. And you know, like don't do anything illegal. And if you're not a church person or you didn't grow up in church, you're not a Christian, I'm pretty positive that's more or less what you've picked up along the way, probably from other people in your life who are religious or go to church or who are Christians. Yeah. Here's what you wanna do. Go to church and don't sin. And that's it. And by the way, guys, don't get me wrong. These two things do describe things that God wants for you, right? These are things that are God's will for you. God wants you to be a part of his church, his body. He wants you to get to know him, to actually have a relationship with him and to grow in that relationship and like, you know, knowing him as your heavenly father. And for sure, he wants you not to experience the pain and the heartbreak and the regret and the consequences of sin. And like, yeah, if we had the time, we don't. I would do like whole talks on each of those. But that's what most of us are carrying around currently. And most of the people you probably run into, it's go to church and don't sin. And while those may be true, for many of us, it just kind of ends there. It's like, that's it. It's my God bucket. It's like kind of small. And here's why it's a problem. Because it explains a lot. It explains why. And this is what I found. And by the way, this is what I personally experienced. It explains why for many of us, God seems relevant to only a small percentage of our lives. It's why for many of us in the church and many, many more in our community, God seems relevant to only a small percentage of our lives because, hey, yeah, I maybe go to church on one day a week, but I go somewhere else six of the other days of the week. You know, I spend six other days at work or at home or at the gym or on the golf course or the beach or whatever it is you do with your time. And yeah, I mean, sometimes I do think about like making the right decision and doing like the godly thing, but like, honestly, that's mostly when I'm facing a really big decision or a really big temptation. So honestly, Jamie, much of the time, I don't think a ton about God. Because going to church, go to church and don't sin, that's only relevant to about, you know, like 10 to 15% of my practical life. And the other like 80 something percent, I don't know. It doesn't really seem connected. kind of feels not in the bucket. And this is why Christians are notoriously can have a hard time answering questions like, hey, what should I do with my life? I mean, not all Christians, I'm just saying on average. And not pastors. Pastors could probably give you a good answer. But just, it's why Christians are notorious on average for having trouble answering questions like, hey, like, what should I do with my life? Like, man, you ask us like about morality, bam, we're on it. We're like, don't. You ask us about church, bam, we're on it. We're like, you know, my brother, if you want God to do on Monday, you better be in the pew on Sunday, amen? I mean, we're there. We're ready like for the church answer. You ask about the afterlife, Christians got your answers like heaven, hell. Like, hell's gonna be hot. Like, you want to, you know, here's an ice cube. Like, we're quick on those answers because they're in the bucket. Like, go to church and don't sin. Like, we kind of got those answers. But you start asking things like, hey, where should I work? Or where should I move? Or like, what should I do with my life? Or what friends should I choose? Or this, that, and the other? What hobby should I have? How should I spend this time that I have? Those answers become a lot harder to find. Like, yeah, sometimes this thing can feel kind of small. And that's what I want to talk about. I know that many of us maybe walked in for sure with like, go to church and don't sin. I know that's in there. God wants you to do that. But I want to talk about the stuff that's not in here today. The stuff that's not in most people's God bucket when it comes to why in the world am I here? What is God's will for my life? And here's just a question I want to ask. What if the reason for many of us, or maybe many that you know, what if the reason that our God bucket is so small is because we're missing the most important piece of his answer to the question, what am I supposed to do in this life? What if the reason our God bucket is so small is that we're missing a crucial piece of direction from God that could open the other 85% of our lives to his involvement and his will? Like, what if God's will for our lives is way, 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 way bigger than many of us think or many of our friends and neighbors think? And today, I'd like to suggest to you that it is. And I'd love to invite you, either you personally, or maybe you could help somebody else who knows you, who's asking the same questions that you and I are asking, but I would love to invite us to reinvent and reconsider this right here, what falls into this. And in a moment, I'm gonna read you a verse that has shown me more about God's will than probably any other verse in the Bible. I'm gonna read you the verse. It's one single verse that has taught me more about what God wants me to do and where he wants me to go and who he wants me to be than probably any other verse in the Bible. And it's found in Paul's letter to the Colossians in the city of Colossae. This is an ancient letter written in the first century to a church plant in a Roman province in the city of Colossae. It's in modern day Turkey. And Paul writes them from a Roman prison. And in chapter 3, he answers for them the question, hey, here's the grid for how you do the things that you do in your life. And I want to read it to you. And what he says, I believe, will help you figure out what God wants you to do with work, with family, with your hobbies, with your free time, with school, with your kids, with parenting. Perhaps like never before. Perhaps more than anything else in the Bible. Perhaps. And I remember the first time that I heard this verse. I remember the preacher that preached it to me. I remember where I was sitting in the room because it forever changed my understanding of what God wanted from me and his will for my life. It forever like exploded the size of my God bucket, you know what I'm saying? In this one moment. I remember like it was yesterday, and as a result, this moment has ended up changing the course of my life. And it's found, like I said, in Colossians chapter 3 from the Apostle Paul. And I want to give it to you today. So here it is. You might want to write it down. It's going to be really important. Hold on. I'm not ready for that. That's one. See the one up there? That's one I'm going to next. Paul says, I was going to kind of build it up, but kind of ruined it. So like, here we go. I was going to say the answer. whoops. The answer that Paul gives straight from the Holy Spirit of God is just this word right here. It's just whatever. Put whatever up there. Yeah. Paul's writing. He's like, whatever. You want to know what you need to do with your life? Whatever. And I know you're like, are you serious, Jamie? Like, really, this is all that buildup? All that buildup, Rich, where are you? Get up here. This guy's horrible. Like, what a letdown. You got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm so glad that I'm here this morning. Like, you know, Paul, after this whole letter of telling people about God and about Jesus and about who he is and about what he did in the world and that you were made for him and all the stuff that you're supposed to believe, Paul finally gets out of the clouds and he finally gives us something practical. And he's like, hey, enough about what you need to believe in life. Now, here's what you need to do in life. Whatever. That's literally what he says. I know it sounds crazy, but up this point in the letter, it's been all about, hey, believe this, believe this, believe this, believe this. And now he's like, okay, now, you know what God wants you to do? And here's the real verse. There, put it up. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever. Everybody say whatever. Yeah. Hey, people in your 20s, people in your 30s and 40s, trucking on in your career and life and kids, people in retirement in your 60s, people that are married, not married, single, married, kids, no kids, got a house, written a house, living at the beach, living in the city. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Like what he puts you on the planet to do? He puts you on the planet for whatever. No, go back. Whatever. He puts you on the planet for whatever God's will for you. Yeah, sure, go ahead. God's will for you is whatever. Yeah, now that I scared him, I'm so sorry. You're doing great. They're like, I'm not clicking that slide. This guy. God's will for you is whatever. Now listen, it's not whatever because God doesn't care. If you hear it that way, you're gonna miss the point of this verse. It's not like, I mean, I know I said it this way because I was kind of messing around a little bit, but it's not like, you know, this whatever isn't like, whatever. No. When Paul says that God's will for you, whatever, it's not like, eh, whatever. It's like, whatever. God's will for you is whatever. But it's not because he doesn't care. It's because he doesn't control. That's the difference. It's not because he doesn't care. It's because he doesn't control. He didn't make you to be a robot. He made you to be his child, right? Parents, you understand this. You get this. Like when your kids were little, every single day of their lives, you told them what to wear and what to eat. What to wear and what to eat. Wear this, eat that, eat it, eat it, eat it. You go to your room, you don't eat it. Scene from yesterday in my house. Anyway, and yet when they grow up, you stop telling them what to wear and what to eat, right? And if your 28-year-old son were to call you and be like, Mom, I just wondering, like, what should I wear today? Like, what should I eat? You'd be like, I don't know, honey. Just like, whatever, right? You're like, I've trained you, you choose. Like, just don't do something stupid. Like, be healthy in general. And that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. Is that God made you unique and beautiful and amazing and like full of potential. And then he placed you in a world where that potential can be applied in like a million different ways. And he gave you a brain that is like intimidatingly capable of realizing that potential in the world. And this verse is God, your heavenly Father, standing in front of you saying, yeah, my will for you is whatever. You're my child, not my robot. You're made in my image, not a computer program. And I can't wait to walk with you in discovering and exploring and evolving your whatever in the world. What I created you here, created and put you here to do. This phrase or this verse, you can go back to the verse, is not a, it's not a flippant dismissal. It's like a flung open door. Whatever you do, God's will for you is whatever. And this right here, this was the moment for me. I told you, I still remember the moment. This was the moment. This was like the phrase for me. This was the phrase where God just went, like blew up the size of my God bucket, just completely forever changed my understanding of his will for my life. That he set me free from this tiny little version of what it meant to live for him. Paul says, hey, you wanna know what goes into this bucket? You wanna know what falls into the category of things that God cares about and has a plan for? Whatever you do. And just for starters, got a couple more things to say, but just for starters, I hope some of you are maybe having a similar moment. That maybe with those three words, the Apostle Paul is also sort of starting to expand the size of your God bucket a little bit today. Like I am actually hoping that some of you are going like, Sounds like you're saying accounting is in there. That's what I do. Yeah, I am. Or like, it kind of sounds like you're saying that landscaping and lawn maintenance, like the thing that I spend all my days doing, is like in God's will for my life. Yeah, it is. Kind of feels like you're saying that my blog and my baseball cards are in there. Yeah. Somebody else is like, hold on, I got this. I do esports, okay? I make 13-year-olds cry for a living in video games, and it's not even a great living. It kind of sounds like you're saying that somehow in the world, that's in like God's will for my life. Yeah, I am. It's whatever. God's will for you is whatever. And so with like three simple words, God, through the Apostle Paul, he sort of brushes aside the main question that we ask, hasn't he? God, what do you want me to do? 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 This, that, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In like three words, God just goes, whatever. And here's why. He brushes aside because it's not the main thing that he's concerned about. It's not what he cares about the most. He actually cares far more about something else. Something that's found in the rest of this verse right here. It turns out that there is one limitation on your whatever. One requirement that God has placed on your whatever. One thing that he wants you to do with your whatever. One way that he wants you to pursue it and build it and order it and enjoy it. And it's this right here, that in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know some of y'all heard this verse before, but don't we just like go skip over that? Like, oh yeah. Blah, blah, blah. No. In whatever you do, there's like one thing that God's will is for you, that in whatever you do, that you would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is the aha moment that I'm hoping that we all have in one degree or another today. I know some of you, maybe you've been down the road of this a little while. Some of you, this is brand new. But I'm hoping we all kind of like either have an aha moment or like a fresh, oh yeah, that is true, moment today and wake up to this truth right here, that God's primary concern is not, here you go, God's primary concern is not what you do, but how you do whatever you do. God's primary concern is not what you do, but how you do whatever you do. And God's will for whatever you do is that you would do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Like, for example, if you're asking God, hey, which job should I take or career should I choose? This one or that one? God's response is, whatever. But just in whichever one you do, my will is that you would go do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You would go do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, certainly, that'll eliminate some careers. Like Ozark, not God's will for your life, bro. Sorry, not gonna happen. You can't do drugs in the name of the Lord Jesus or sell them. You know, so that's eliminated. But among those that are left, when it comes down to like two, three totally respectable, good, awesome jobs or excellent opportunities, God's will for you isn't choose this one over that one. His will for you is that in whichever one that you choose, you would go do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every step, every decision, every single day. Or if your kids are asking or you're asking, hey, where should I go to college? Should I go to this college, that college, or this college? God's answer is, I've created you to figure that out. I have surrounded you with people to help you, and I have planted in you gifts and desires and passions that are like signposts to what you could do in this world. Like, I'm giving you the freedom to choose, but my will for you is simply that wherever you go to college, that you would go there and you would study there and grow there and, yeah, even party there in the name of the Lord Jesus. That'll eliminate some behaviors and some results for sure, but the rest is up to you. Or hey, one more. God, should I marry this person or that person? Should I move to this city or that city? God's going, well, whatever. My will for you is this, that whoever you marry and wherever you move, marry them and build a marriage, move there and build a life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Certainly that will eliminate some options, right? But among those that are left, God's will for you is whatever. That's what I love about this verse, because we could keep going. We could literally apply that to the whole other 85% of your life that's outside of go to church and don't sin. And by the way, I'm not saying that God never gets specific. Like God never says, you know, here, her, be careful with the marriage thing. God told me to marry you. Like you should run away if you ever hear that. It's probably not God, okay? In my limited experience. And I'm not saying that God never gets specific, but it is the exception rather than the rule. Why? Because God's primary concern isn't what you do, but how you do whatever you do. And that means, number one, yeah, that God's will for you is what is whatever. Son, daughter, it's whatever. But it also means this, that your whatever matters a lot. Your whatever matters. Yeah, the one that you never have thought to connect to God in your whole life, because it's just your job, it's just your hobby. Your whatever matters. Yeah, even the one that you don't like. That thing that you show up to every day and you're like, this is horrible. This is worthless. Yeah, even that, it matters to God. He sees purpose in it. He sees glory in it. He sees potential in it. Why? Because he has a plan for it to be connected to the name and the cause and the kingdom and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Are you kidding me? What could matter more? So, my friends, that's my question I want to ask you guys. What's your whatever? What's your whatever? And perhaps earlier on, you're like, yeah, I'm one of those people that perhaps you have never thought in your life that it fell into this bucket. Something that God cared about and had a plan for and was his will for your life that he leaned in with interest to. Apostle Paul wants you to know, oh yeah, it is, it's in there. This bucket is way bigger than you think. Your whatever, this life you're building, where you work, who you hang with, where you live, man, it matters to God. Oh, it matters to God. It's a big deal to him. And it's whatever, not because he doesn't care, but because he doesn't control. He is a father who delights to walk with you and discovering and developing and evolving and growing. You're whatever. But his ask, his will for you is that in whatever you do, that you would do it and build it and pursue it and grow it and order it and enjoy it, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Which, of course, begs the question, what in the heck does that mean? What does that mean to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Like, I know some of you are like me, because if I was sitting in your seat, this is what I'd be thinking. I'd be like, oh boy, here we go. Like, are you saying, like, what it was, just do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Do I need to, like, point to the sky after every sales call, like, boom, Jesus, you know? Like, what are we talking about? Am I T-bowing after I turn in my TPS report? Like, you know, like, yes. That was for you Floridians. I thought you would have liked that a little more. Okay. What are we about to get weird, like, hand out, you know, gospel tracts with like, product samples. Like, here, let me just slide this in. It's the greatest tip you'll ever get. Not against gospel tracts, just the tip thing. That's seen that done before. No, and that's not what it means. That's not, I mean, I know that's where my head would go, but that's not what we're talking about. The reality of what he means by this, the clues to it are actually in the rest of the chapter, in chapter 3. And I want to show you three things that it means so that you can get an idea. And I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian, this is where I told you we start with God and get really practical. Okay, this is the practical moment. Because once we flesh out what this is, you're going to find the principle that I'm telling you, it will not be so helpful. It will legit add purpose and meaning and joy and direction. Remember the balance beam? It is going to add focus to your life. I'm telling you, it's going to help you as you navigate and walk through whatever it is that you're walking through. But it's certainly, if you're a Jesus follower, it's going to help you on a daily basis in whatever you are doing, very clearly discern and follow God's will for your life. So here's what it means when he says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one, I'm a preacher. I made them all start with G. So easy to remember. So y'all ready? Number one says be great. I would say it means to be great. You want to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go be great at what you do. Go be great at what you do. And by the way, I don't mean in comparison to somebody else. Nah, we're not about that. But I just mean be the best that you can be at whatever you do. Paul literally a few verses later says it this way. His similar language, different verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work at it with all your heart. What excellence level should I strive for? Well, the one that you would strive for if you were working for the Lord and not just for men, not just for corporate, not just for clients, that level. Go be great. Go be great. Did you know that being great at what you do, doing your best at what you do and getting better and better at it actually brings glory to the Lord actually makes him proud. It's actually part of the reason he put you on the planet. Did you know that? When God made the first man, Adam, Genesis tells us that one of the first things that God gave mankind, I don't know if you know this, was a job. I mean, it was a really cool job, but nevertheless, it was a job. Adam's job was to name the animals, tend the garden, and like build out creation, build out what God had made, to fill the earth, to build out civilization. It was his way of joining God and creating, and it was a huge part of why God made Adam and Eve, and it's a huge part of why he made you. Sometimes we as Christians, we have this like tendency in our professions and whatever we do with our time that we feel like this need that we need to connect it back to the church in order to prove that it's useful to God. Like, yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I'm an accountant for like this really impressive firm. But I invite people from my firm to church, okay? Which by the way, if you do, please keep doing that. It's awesome. It's on mission. You should do that. That's why we're here. But it's not as if all that other stuff that you do is useless to God. I mean, are you kidding me? God delights in your accounting. God is glorified. I mean, he's like glorified with how hard you work and how you work so hard to get it right and make it excellent, not just for your boss, but for your clients. I mean, God is all about that. Are you kidding me? Never forget. There is worship in your work. There's glory in your grit. There's exaltation in your excellence. And whether you work for, I don't know, what's a big firm? PricewaterhouseCoopers or Chick-fil-A, or you're a stay-at-home parent, God sees your work and he loves it. And doing it to the best of your ability, doing it well and doing it with all of your heart, that's a huge part of what it means to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You go be great. Be the best that you can be at what you do. But number two, not just be great, be good. That's what it means. Doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean just being great at what you do. It means being good along the way. We've all seen the difference between a friend or an employee or a teammate or a boss or somebody who is great at what they do and one who's not only great at what they do, but actually good to the people around them as you go. Paul says, do that. If you want to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, do that. Or here's how he wrote it. We'll just use the first verse here. Go to that one. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, patience. He goes on to talk about forgiveness. He talks about putting over all those virtues, love, right at the epicenter, what it means to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you want to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, don't just be great at what you do, go be good. Like, yeah, be a good person. Be like Jesus. Go walk in the new identity and the new freedom and the new life that you have in him. It's such a big part of doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would leave things like goodness, you would leave goodness in your wake, things like compassion, you would leave kindness in your wake, humility in your wake, gentleness in your wake, patience in your wake. You would leave love in your wake, and then no matter who was around you, that they would experience that from you. And here's why it equates to doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus, because if he was in your shoes, he'd do the exact same thing. It's exactly how he'd treat him. So you are representing him. You are literally reproducing his presence. And when you do that, people tend to start asking, don't they? They tend to start wondering, what in the world's up with her? And they tend to start suspecting that maybe, just maybe, it has something to do with this Jesus you claim to follow. You want to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Don't just be great at what you do, to be good along the way. And then finally, if you want to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, be grateful. Be grateful. That's what he says in the end of the verse we started with. He says, well, whatever you do, go to the verse, please. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you want to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, you need to do it with gratitude. And that's both inward gratitude and outward gratitude. It's the inward gratitude of remembering who gave you what you have and how you got where you are, that you thank God for everything that you have, no matter your season or no matter your circumstances. But it's also the outward gratitude. And you know what I'm talking about by outward gratitude. Like when the spotlight hits you or recognition hits you, you have one of those recognition moments and people are like, dang, bro, you made it. Dang, girl, congrats, you're killing it. Oh, look, you how in the world did you get where you are? Outward gratitude means you take that moment to connect the dots, watch this, between your great work and your good character and the Savior who made it possible. That you take a spotlight pointed at you and you point it on him. You want to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Be grateful. Do it all with gratitude. And that's it. That's what it means to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It means to be great, be good, and be grateful. Be great, be good, and be grateful. And that's what changed my life. That's what totally forever changed my understanding of what God had wanted for me, and like just blew up the size of my God bucket. This. And here's what I love about it. What I love about it is that you can literally apply it to any scenario in your life right now. Anything that you're facing in life right now. It's a grid for every single aspect of your life to find, identify, focus on, and follow after the will of God for your life. And hey, I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian, here's the other great thing about it. It works. This thing works. I'm telling you, you just try it. I dare you to go make, be great, be good, and be grateful. The grid of you, how you do whatever you do, and see if it does not bring a fresh passion and purpose and meaning to whatever you do. See if it does not set you up to have a better whatever 10 years from now than you would have had otherwise, or even than what you have currently now. And see if it does not help ensure that you enjoy your whatever as much as you possibly can along the way. So, that's what I'd love to invite you to do. Go do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's God's will for your life. It's God's will for your life. So how could you, how do you want to, what adjustment do you want to make to go be good, be great, and be grateful? And that's what I'd like to invite you to do. Those of you that know your whatever, most of us in the room, you'd say, yeah, I have a pretty good idea of what my whatever is. I would like to invite you to keep going in it. Keep going. Don't see God's will as some other thing that you do. No, no, you're right in the middle of God's will for your life, so keep going. But this week, just bring a fresh focus and a fresh passion around God's purpose in it than maybe you did before. And that's what I'd like to challenge you to do. I'd like to challenge you to pick one of these and just focus on it this week. Be great, be good, be grateful. Which one of those do you need to pick and elevate in your life a little bit this week? Some of us need to choose be great and go, man, I need to go sharpen my skill set. I need to go like sharpen my game, maybe in a way that I haven't in a while. I've just been kind of coasting. But God, you know what? I work for the Lord, not for men, and I'm going to be great what I do. Some of us need to choose be good and maybe just reevaluate how we carry ourselves around people and like bend in the direction of love. Or maybe we need to choose be grateful and start developing a vocabulary in our prayers and in our conversations with our coworkers of gratitude. So keep going. And by the way, if you don't love your whatever and you're like, man, I can't wait to get out of this whatever. It stinks. Don't even pay well. I'm not even gonna be here long. That's okay. But this is still for you, right? This is still for you. Why? Because God has a will for your whatever. He has a will for your whatever. Not just the one that you want then, the one that you have now. So don't bail on this. Pick one of these and elevate it. What better way to prepare yourself for the whatever that you want in the future than to go be great, good, and grateful in the whatever that you're walking in right now? What better way? Go follow God and see if he does not take care of you. So pick one of these. Which one of these do you need to pick and just go focus on? But right before we close, I got one more thing, because I know there might be a few of us in the room and you're going like, I don't know my whatever. Like maybe you're fresh out of college again, or maybe you're in a season of transition, you've changed or quit your job or lost your job, or for whatever reason you feel just like, I don't know what my whatever is. I'm kind of unclear on my direction. I wanted to give you a list of some great questions that you can use to probably help you find your whatever, to make sure that you are looking and pointed in the right direction. I first heard these from Louis Giglio when I was in college, majorly helped me. I've held on to them all these years. So I'm not gonna read them all, but these are five questions that will help you point yourself in the right direction to find your whatever, because these questions, things like what keeps you up at night, what wakes you up in the morning, what are you best at, they'll help you tune in to how God made you, and how God made you is what tells you where you need to look and what you need to try as you're trying to figure out your whatever. So screenshot those, or well, I'll give them, we'll post them online or something like that. But that's the invitation. You wanna know God's will for your life? This thing's way bigger than you think. His will for you is whatever. His will for you is whatever, and he's inviting you to do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's go be great, let's go be good, and let's go be grateful and walk in God's purpose for our lives. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that maybe many of us are waking up to your will for our lives, or just remembering all over again in a fresh way, oh yeah, God, you really do have an amazing plan for what I do every single day of my life. And I pray that you'd inspire us to pick one of these and go focus on it this week, that maybe we would do whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus a little more than we did before. So give us clarity on that. In Jesus' name, amen.